Okay, so as most of you know, I'm the current board treasurer and I'm responsible for overseeing the data entry and preparation of monthly financial statements that I present to the board and are part of the minutes of the board meetings monthly. And Susan is also on the team, Susan Kay, so I just want to recognize her today. She does the data entry among other central office tasks, and then I review her work and finish up the financials and then present them. I also present the annual budget to the delegate meeting, and at the delegate meeting, there are financials that get approved by the delegates, including the budget. So what I did was I brought an example of two financial statements. One of the comments in the last delegate meeting was, well, we don't see the year end until the following year's delegate meeting because it's not over. The year isn't over at the time of the delegate meeting. So what I thought I'd do is share the year end now with you guys so that you can ask questions, make comments, make requests. Now, these are the financials that the board has voted on and accepted. So these are not what I would call prettied up for the delegate meeting. It is exactly what I present to the board. So some things that were confusing to people during the delegate meeting may still be confusing, I don't know, but I just wanted to give you a taste of what I do. And I am going to go, so the two financials, one is the year end, which is June 30, and another is an interim financial, and the latest one that I'm able to share is August. And since our year end is in June, that's really only 2 months, July and August. But I thought I would start with the year end because I think that's probably has you guys with the most interest. So let me find it. All right. Can anyone not see that? All right. So these are the financials that generally the delegates are going to see next year when we do the delegate meeting and will be voted on, but I'm calling them preliminary because there is a possibility that there will be some changes or at least changes in presentation, if nothing else. So there's several statements that I present to the board. And the first one is the balance sheet. And the balance sheet goes through the financial position of the organization at any point in time. So in this point in time, it's June 30th. And we ended up having $131,282 in the bank account, which if you can see, I did a prior year comparison and we had $116,000 as of June of 2021. So we had what I would consider to be a prosperous year. I do from time to time record prepaid expenses. In this case, BWW means board working weekend. And so I occasionally will record those if like somebody got reimbursed for something before June that the event really didn't happen until after June. And so that's what that is. And then we didn't pay our hotel bill by the end of June for the convention at the end of May. And I just felt like it was important to recognize the full convention cost as of June 30 and not skew both years in terms of our profitability for the convention. So that's what that is. And then there's just some payroll liabilities. We have one employee and those get recorded and paid every month. And the only other thing that is in the assets and liabilities are the reserves that the board, the technical term is board designated reserves. And that means that we don't have a legal obligation to pay, to set aside this cash for these particular reasons. But the board has said, we want to have a safeguard. We want to have, you know, $55,000 left in the banks at any given time, just in case. The reserves for the COSA basic text are the estimate of the editing and the cost to actually get our new basic text out to the fellowship. And the reserve for operating expenses is in case everything crashes and we need to pay our expenses for a certain number of months. The equity is just simply what's left after you've subtract assets minus liabilities. Kimberly, should I go through each one? Should I stop for questions? It's up to you. I don't know how much time we have.
Do we have questions at this point? And if it's something that you plan on sharing later, you can let us know that you'll be sharing those answers as it goes on.
Marlene, I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. So when I went to my first convention in 2008, this is my comment, we had so little money and so little volunteerism that there was a definite movement to shut down COSA that we could not continue. And I see that we're doing so much better, but I just wanted to point out that it's through, in many cases, the individual contributions of just maybe a few people that kept us afloat at different times, and how important our donations are. Thank you.
I saw another hand.
Then I have another comment to say at another time or now.
Go ahead, Bridget.
No, Bridget.
Can I just, I can see that there's some net income there, and I'm assuming that's from Seventh Tradition, is that correct?
Yes, I'm going to go through that statement next.
Okay.
Is there any other questions?
Okay, the next one is the profit and loss, which Bridget basically asked about, and we have two sources of income. Well, I guess three sources of income. We have the income that we get from our annual conventions, and this year it was $12,552. We do record the delegate meeting registration income separately from that, which you can see it's $1,072. And then our donations were $34,476. So, and then we have some sales. We have sales of medallions, literature, you know, things like that that we can order either through Kindle and Amazon or through the central office. And that totaled $7,761. So that's what makes up the ISO income. It's been that way basically since I've been treasurer. And the bottom line, well, the comparison for this year compared to last is really skewed because we had no face-to-face convention. So, I don't know if it's because of that or what exactly, but our donations were quite a bit higher in that in June of 2021 than last year. But we also had people going to convention and other things going on. So I'm not sure why that happened, but it did. And then I go to the expenses, and pretty much it's just a listing of the expenses. We have the annual delegate meeting expense, $467. We have board expenses. I do want to go into that a little bit. We have we're required to have two face-to-face meetings a year. And in the pre-COVID world, that would be literally face-to-face. And the ISO reimburses for the board travel and sometimes meals depending on the situation. And I also recorded the delegate registration for the board members, which is a non-cash item, but the offsets and income, that might be too complicated for you guys. But I just wanted you to know that that's what board expenses is. It's the two face-to-face meetings. And if we don't have those, if those meetings are not face-to-face or on Zoom at any given time, then those board expenses would go down. Here's some convention expenses. And like I said, in the balance sheet, that hotel deposit of almost $16,000 really is what we paid the hotel for the space. And I'm gonna, so total convention expense was $16,612. And I'm gonna go back up and show you the convention income, which was $12,552. So we did not break even on that. And you know, at the time we made the decision to do a hybrid convention, you know, we had no idea what the post-COVID world was going to be like. So so actually, in my opinion, we didn't do too bad considering it was a heads or tails kind of decision. And then the rest of the expenses are other ongoing expenses. We've been helping the outreach committee do outreach. We have the cost of printing the literature and mailing it out. We have some office expenses and the negative insurance. We didn't quite get our insurance renewed in time that after 12 months. And so we have a negative one at the end of June. We paid it after the end of June. So that's why that's negative. Rent is really low this year because we moved out of the Houston office and we now have a permanent sort of mail forwarding service out of Dallas, and that's why that's a lot less. And then we have our central office person's wages and payroll taxes and staff travel, and that would be for the central office person to fly to, say, the convention that that person works at, being available to everyone regarding literature and central office stuff. And then we just have our technology fees, which we have a lot because we have two or three ways that the fellowship can either make donations, do registrations, or buy products, literature. So we have quite a bit of technology fees. And yes, we did overall show a $4,200 profit in June of 2022. Are there any questions on that or comments or?
I have a couple questions and comments.
Go ahead, Marlene.
Thank you. So my first comment, which is my comment, which is what I had said I wanted to say, is that when I listened in the in-person board meeting, you know, for all of us, was mentioned going to some outreach to, I can't put my tongue on the word, for CSAC, I think it is. And I know very well the two people who were in charge of outreach before the current situation. And they had done that with no success. All that had happened was questioning why we were called COSA, and it amounted to nothing. And I know the remark that was made at this board meeting for all of us at convention was, we have a surplus and so we can use it to do that. And I'm very afraid that this precious money that we've accumulated would be squandered for something that has such poor potential for result. So that's the end of that comment. And then—
Can I speak to that? Is your next comment unrelated? Because I can speak to that. Okay, so I'm gonna go back up here to the outreach committee. At the end of June, they had spent $1,049, and 400 of it was setting up and doing all of the costs related to COSA teen. And we also helped with the UK website. So those are the two things that you see here. The board had several discussions on this and decided that we have a cash surplus, because $55,000 was what the board voted on to keep in reserve no matter what. And so it was decided that we had some money to expand carrying the, you know, attempting to expand the carrying of the message in places that we hadn't before. So the outreach committee has been very active in terms of ideas and things to do. And those are the two things that they did before the end of the year. We also have a budget item for them unrelated to convention profit to do some things this year. And you'll see in the, I think you'll see in the August financials, if we get that far, because Bridget or Kimberly, you might have to cut me off, that they've already done things. They've gone to a social work convention just like a couple weekends ago. And I don't think I'm prepared to say the results of that, but the board at this point feels that it's worth the risk to put some money into things that might generate a loss, basically. Okay, so that answers that.
And I just wanted to add that it might be, I personally was thinking, and I don't want to take too much time, is that it would be better to support in some way having more people come to our in-person convention.
Yeah, we've actually talked about that as well, and no decision was made on that other than the scholarship program that we do have. Any other questions on the profit and loss? Because I know we have to move along.
Thanks. I saw Pat's hand. Pat, did you have something to say regarding financials?
Well, just about the expense outreach. Could I do that? I was at that social workers convention. It was awesome. So a lot of the fellow exhibitors, like I had a booth, and my husband had a booth right next door for the SAA side. And there was a lot of social workers that would come up, and they'd read the sign, you know, that we had, and there was literature to give out to them, and would say, "Have you heard about us?" "No, I've never heard about that before." And got to share stuff, and they said, "Oh," and it was awesome. And when my husband was talking about his stuff over there, I'd stand up, and like when they were done talking, I'd say, "Oh, we're kind of, you know, let me tell you about this group too." And it was wonderful. I'll go back next year if I think they're going to do it again in Galveston next year, and gladly do that again. It was wonderful. Thanks.
Thanks, Pat. Any other questions regarding these two documents?
Okay, I don't hear anyone. The final report that I give to the board is the actual versus budget for the year. And if you recall, if you were here at the last delegate meeting, it was there again, heads or tails. We didn't have a hotel. We didn't have any contract by the end of June. When I created the budget. So this is a bit of a crapshoot. We were hoping for more participants at the convention, and that didn't pan out. Donations were quite in line with expectations, and sales and donations, you know, it was not bad. It was really close to expectations. We were a little bit less on the board expenses, and it is possible that some of those are reimbursed after June. I'm not recalling. We were hoping for close to $15,700 in total convention expense, and we did 16. So we did pretty close there, but the revenues weren't there to break even on that. And as you can see, I want to highlight the outreach committee, because we had budgeted all the way to the end of June that the outreach committee had $2,300 to spend on outreach items. So we are budgeting that committee. We had less than literature and printing. Office was really close. Payroll was really close. And technology fees were really close. So now, if you notice, the net operating income of $4,241, that's the same as on the P&L. So the only thing I added was a separate column for the budget. Are there any questions on that?
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
So people were not traveling yet at convention time. You know, I traveled just recently, airports were packed. We saw airports were packed, but at convention, it still was just beginning for travel, which I think depressed our attendance.
Thank you. Yes, I don't know, but it certainly, the attendance was lower than we hoped. Any other questions on the budget or comments? Okay, Kimberly, I don't know what your time looks like and whether or not I should briefly share the August financials. I just want to say they're identical. I do the same three financials. It's just that the period is shorter.
Okay. Thank you.
And we're pretty much breaking even after the 2 months ended August. So I don't know if you guys want to see those or not.
Let's do group conscience in regards to seeing those or moving towards our speaker share. Let's do a thumbs up for her to go ahead and share the August financials, or thumbs down to move past those and move to the speaker share. Okay, we'll go ahead and do a group conscience.
I have one question I think is important.
Go ahead, Marley.
Thank you so much. So now that our delegate meeting is permanently online, I know for the 10th and 11th step meetings, we're at a loss about our fundraising to support a delegate going to convention and how that's going to affect money just for ISO.
Okay, so it sounds like what I'm hearing is you are asking for ESH from other COSIS and what their meetings are doing as far as sending or collecting finances to send delegates to the annual delegate meeting? Is that correct?
No, I'm wondering, how does anyone have a sense of how this is going to affect our fundraising?
And is that question directed towards the delegates as a group or to Tracy?
Or Tracy and the board.
Okay.
Has this been addressed?
Yeah. Well, all I know is we haven't discussed that. And I would think the convention committee and the delegate working group might be appropriate places to inquire, because the board has an oversight duties, but we're not involved in the day-to-day decisions that those groups are making.
Thank you for letting me ask my questions.
Thank you, Tracy. All right, based on group conscience, we'll move to our speaker. Thank you, Pat, for coming and being willing to share your ESH and your journey on service. We're ready whenever you're ready to share with us.
Hi, I'm Costa Pat D from the Houston area, and a little bit of background about me. I came into COSA several years ago. I was clueless. I didn't even know what a boundary was. I had no voice. I felt I had little value. I was in so much pain. I wasn't even sure COSA was for me. And I thought, why are you here, lady across the circle? You're pretty, unlike me. That meeting's topic was on boundaries. And I did ask, is somebody going to tell me what mine are? And bless them, nobody laughed. They just said, keep coming back. And oh, there's so much to learn. So I started working the 12 steps with a sponsor, and that took a long time. And I still wasn't aware there was anything outside of my little group. And somebody said, hey, Pat, do you want to stay after the meeting for another meeting to discuss the business side? Well, sure. I have to wait till my husband's meeting's done anyways. So I go to those meetings. Still not sure what they were, but you know, a little more aware that there's something beyond my own Sunday night 12-step meeting. So I'd put my 2 cents in whenever somebody asked me about something. And you know, those once a month meetings after my regular meeting, those were called intergroup. Oh, so there's more meetings in the area, more 12-step meetings. You know, and I found out that there was other needs in this intergroup. Little things that I could do without feeling overwhelmed. And then I learned that there was an international group that supports all of these little 12-step groups. Oh, they have conventions, they have workshops, there's stuff to read. It was just really eye-opening. Oh, so they need some help too. And I thought, me? No. I could never be in charge of anything. I'm not good enough to do that. I don't know enough to do that. I'm a dinosaur. That's so familiar sounding to me. And then I found out that there's things called delegates. And a delegate serves year round for a 2-year term for a maximum of 6 years. They represent their group at the annual delegate meeting and throughout the year. And it's not as scary as it sounds. A delegate's really a conduit for information between that ISO group, that international group, and the home 12-step meeting. They inform their group about stuff that comes up, like literature to review, conventions, financial things. And then they get to vote according to their group's conscience on those things at an annual delegate meeting. Oh, that doesn't sound so overwhelming. I think I can do that. So I started being a delegate. We'd all get together online to see what's coming up for the annual delegate meeting, and I got to know more about what happens behind the scenes. There's so many at work to put together the things that I took for granted. Those booklets that I'd just been able to order explaining a step. Those workshops that magically came together at conventions that I could attend. So much I saw the traditions and the concepts actually at work. And, you know, I'd get to hear other delegates talk about their home meetings, challenges that they had, issues, strength that they shared. And I started to become familiar with those faces on my screen. So after my time was up, lo and behold, another meeting that I went to needed a delegate. Sure, I'd love to. And then those years were done, and I found myself not a delegate anymore. So I'd go to a convention in person if they were close by, Zoom went out, and I'd see people and I'd think, ah, I know him. Ah, I know her. And I realized that I really missed them. Some I became a lot more familiar with from other online meetings. The key thing, though, is I realized I was building relationships with them, and I look forward to seeing and talking with them. You know, the need for a delegate has arisen in one of those home groups of mine, and others in the group, they're doing convention work, they're doing board things, or they've got commitments that prevent them from being a delegate. So gratefully, I said, I'd love to, if you'd have me. You know, at this point in my life, this is something I can gladly commit to. It's not overwhelming. I can pretty well get the information to bring back to my home meeting on my own time. And I can bring my home group's concerns back up the line. I learned that I've got value. When I don't understand something, I can ask. I have a voice. Join us. We're a pretty good group. Thanks for listening. I'm Pat D. from the Houston area. A very, very grateful recovering COSA. Thanks.